Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the grace and mercy that we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast shown Thyself to be ready to receive and ready to save those who come unto Thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for it. We pray Thee, Father, that Thou wilt by Thy Holy Spirit help us to appreciate these things and to turn unto Thee and to draw nigh unto Thee. Help us, and we will give Thee the praise and the glory. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we read along in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we come in the 11th chapter, we find that the Lord Jesus showed a very stern attitude toward the response people gave to His message. I think in general we are inclined to think that to be truly Christian, it would be necessary to be altogether mild and even to the point of being, spineless, as if we meant by being mild that anything goes. Sometimes I think that our notion of the humility of Christ and of the meekness of Christ is such that we're inclined to think that He just wouldn't just judge anybody at all. Now, we need to make a difference in our thinking. His attitude toward the individual who has done wrong is kind and merciful, but His judgment of the wrong the individual did is straightforward and honest and clear. And now in this portion of the book of Matthew, in the 11th chapter, verses 20 to 27, we see the Lord's judgment of the response that is made to Him, and we find that He wasn't at all mild in His feeling about the way people acted, about what they heard of the gospel. Let me read to you in verse 20, for example. Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now, the word upbraid is an old English word, and the nearest thing we'd have to it in everyday language is scold. Now, we have slang words that come closer to it. He bawled them out, is what it really amounts to. He upbraided them. He actually openly accused them of having been wrong in the way in which they reacted to the demonstrations of power that were in their midst. Let us see exactly what he says. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. And the reason why I pause when I speak about this in this way is because for many of us this would apply. Now, just take it so far as we are concerned. Many of us have seen people turn to God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard of the mighty works that have been done through evangelism when many, many people have turned to God. We have heard the gospel call, calling all men to come unto Him. Now, have we come? Do we turn? Are all these people wrong? When you hear that hundreds of thousands of people turn out to hear the gospel, do you turn out to hear the gospel? Do you go and listen? When you hear about thousands of people coming forward to commit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, do I come forward to commit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not important that I walk down the aisle of a tent meeting. I don't have to walk down the aisle of a church, but I'll need to respond at any time and in any way. The question is this: when we hear about people hearing the gospel and turning to God, do we turn to God and do we come? Now listen, if we have been surrounded with evidence of the goodness of God and the grace of God, and we hear His call and don't do anything about it, then what He says to these cities is going to be applicable to us. Listen again. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Mind you, not because they did evil. They did evil. That's not what He scolded them about. He didn't scold them because they were wrong. He didn't scold them because they were unbelieving people. He didn't scold them because they were weak. He didn't scold them because they were sinful in their conduct. All those things were true, and they were judged for those things. But He scolded them because when they saw the evidence of the power of God, they didn't turn. They didn't judge themselves as unfit. They saw the power of God in other people and left themselves the way they were in smug complacency. This isn't acceptable to God. He's displeased with that kind of thing. Listen to him. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you know what that's saying? That's saying that there are individuals who have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There could even be people living in this country whose families were not godly people, who never had the Bible read to them as children, and they never heard the name of God lifted up in prayer or any of those things. Now, those people might grow up in unbelief, and that would be one thing. Some of us have heard the Bible read. We have heard prayer made. We have known of people who turned to the Lord and understood Him and called upon Him. Those things are common knowledge to us, and then we don't turn to God. We have a far greater blame than the man who has never heard that kind of thing. Now let me read on. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, a city evidently that had a very high opinion of itself, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Those are stern words. Those are warning words. And you know what they're saying to us? That we are responsible for the reception that we give to the gospel. Now, when you hear me say this, it isn't as though I am inflicting something upon you. It isn't as though any word of mine will bring something to pass that isn't true. There's just one thing I can do. I can expound. I can open up. I can expose to your sight what is really the will of God. And the will of God is concerned about the way I respond to Him. If He calls and I do not answer, I carry a double blame. If He offers to help and I do not receive it, I have a double blame. In the first place, I have the blame for going wrong. In the second place, I have the blame for not turning to go right when I have an opportunity, because I'm responsible to repent. I'm responsible to judge myself in all honesty and openness and sincerity as being unfit. If I judged myself unfit and I once gave up my smug complacency, I might turn to God. My heart and mind would be open, and then God could come in and help me. Now notice what he says in the next two verses, in verses 25 and 26. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Looking at this expression, I'd pick up those words, wise and prudent. Those are very nice words. And I think they're nicer than the original. The word wise would include the people who count themselves sophisticated, the people who count themselves philosophical, the people who have given themselves over to an understanding and intellectual approach to things. The prudent are the people who are very thoughtful and cautious, who try to be careful. They're not given over to emotion. They want to think over things over cold-blooded fashion to really get the truth of it. Now, here's a striking thing. God has not revealed himself to sophisticated people. You can be sophisticated intellectually without ever coming to know God. You can be as careful and cautious in your logic and in your reasoning as you want to be, and you can talk and argue and read by the hour and come out to nothing. Because God has hid these things from the wise and the prudent. That is to say, and I want to say it this way, He has hid these things from those who are intellectually sophisticated and those who are intellectually cautious. He has hidden Himself from such people and revealed Himself unto babes. Is that because the things of the gospel are so simple? Is it because there's anything about them tricky that you hope to get past a baby? Is that the reason? Or is it this, that the things of the gospel are so personal that God himself actually wants to deal with people genuinely? He wants to deal with people who will respond sincerely, and a baby does. Now, that's the whole thing. Except you be as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And being as little children doesn't mean limited in knowledge as little children, but an attitude such as little children have. They take it personally. They take it sincerely. They take it the way you say it, and that's the way they play it, whether they're for it or against it. But they're genuine about the matter, and God can deal with that kind of people. And now we come to verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever shall reveal him. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. That is, nobody really appreciates Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God, but God himself, who knows it so well. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. No human being can really appreciate God in the place of Father, like the Lord Jesus Christ, who, born of a woman and found in fashion as a man, was in himself the Son of God. And he knew God because he was God. And again, he to whom the Son shall reveal him. And you know how the Son of God reveals his understanding of the Father? By the Holy Spirit within your heart. This is not a matter of talk. This is a matter of inward spiritual insight and vision. Only God could know the heart and mind and will of Jesus of Nazareth. And only the incarnate Son of God could know in human language the Father, God in his relationship to man. And only he to whom the Son shall reveal him, only such persons as, in their own spiritual experience, are inwardly led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, are able really to recognize for what he is, God as Father, our God and Heavenly Father. Help us to understand these things, and show us thyself by thy Holy Spirit, for thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.